With so many people worried about AI taking over their jobs, I've got some good news for a change. If you're in the culinary world, it doesn't look like your livelihood is in danger quite yet. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back to dish out the facts after this.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
ChatGPT isn't a master chef. A food scientist from the University of Illinois recently had the software evaluate several brownie recipes, and it wasn't very good at cooking up answers, because no matter how revolting the recipe was, ChatGPT always gave it high marks. It didn't just endorse a standard brownie mix. It also praised the use of fish oil instead of butter, and substituting worm meal in place of eggs. No matter how gag-worthy the ingredient list happened to be, AI loved it. Looks like we won't be having AI food critics anytime soon. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, opposing AI at realisgood.org.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army again. Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. March into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. They will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Happy Monday. It is the start of another week, and I don't know about you, but I'm a little concerned about the direction the United States of America is headed. There is a story that has left me quite concerned, and it has to do with our constitutionally protected right under the Bill of Rights to, well, petition the government for redress of grievances, right? That is our legal right that we can say, yo, I don't like what you're doing. And as long as it's nothing but words and there are no threats involved, then that is not only legal, but it is a right that our founding fathers and indeed, all of the folks who have protected and nurtured the Constitution and the Bill of Rights over all of these many, many years wanted to ensure that we would always have. In addition, we have a First Amendment right to free speech. So you're allowed to say pretty much anything you want in this country. Sometimes, to my chagrin, there was a, what was the case recently? A case where I'll do a whole other show on that, but the Supreme Court has erred on the side of protecting free speech, even in places where I have to say, I think maybe the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction with Justin Timberlake back in, was that 2005? I don't know, that was a long time ago. But for those of you too young to remember, in that incident, it was a Super Bowl halftime show, which has been on everybody's mind since we just had the Super Bowl. And in that Super Bowl halftime show, there was a song, I think that's Rock Your Body, and the final line of the song is, I'm going to have you naked by the end of this song, and Justin Timberlake then reached out to Janet Jackson's bustier, I guess you'd call it, and tore off a Velcro attached patch or bralette or whatever you want to call the bustier bra portion. And underneath it was her bare and exposed breast. And so 200,000 people complained to the Federal Communication Commission, the FCC, who then fined the Super Bowl people who are CBS. I don't know. I'd have to go back and see who it was. But anyway, there was a fine. It was, in my opinion, a low fine. And they appealed it and appealed it and appealed it, and the courts decided that it was a protection of First Amendment speech, and they could not be fined. So I'm not quite entirely sure I have that whole story, but I was shocked that the courts did not uphold the fine for what was clearly a pretty horrific act. So the courts, and I've gone back and I've followed this through the censorship discussions all through the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, that's the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, and just watch decision after decision after decision uphold the First Amendment, people's right to say really obscene things and filthy things and horrific, violent things, and saying all sorts of things. But the one thing, apparently, that you can't do these days is exercise your First Amendment right. So let me jump right into this story here. This is in the Washington Post, and it crossed my radar screen and stood out for me because of Start Mail, which I have been talking about for a long time, but most of you have not gotten Start Mail accounts, and maybe it's time to rethink that decision, because there is something called, here, let me tell you all the story on this thing, an administrative subpoena, which allows the government to bypass the normal procedure of going to a judge and getting permission before rifling through your email account. All right, so here's the story, and this is appalling on every front. It's appalling because of the privacy violation. It's appalling because of the redress of grievances issue. It's just appalling across the board. So I'm gonna tell you the story, and then I'll let you decide for yourselves. By the way, I want to open up the phone lines because maybe this story is contentious. Maybe people will take the side of the federal government here. 877-536-1360 if you want to call in and give me your opinion. You can also text that number as well. All right, here's the story. Homeland Security is targeting Americans with this secretive legal weapon. Now, this apparently happened back in October, but it's just now reaching the media. In October, a retiree, this is a 67-year-old man named John, who lives in, I want to say Philadelphia, emailed a DHS, that's the Department of Homeland Security, attorney to urge mercy for an asylum seeker. Then the Department of Homeland Security subpoenaed his Google account and sent investigators to his home. All right. By the way, if they subpoenaed your Start Mail account, they would get nothing, like literally zero. In fact, hang on, let me tell you this while I'm thinking about it. Start Mail just, I had a meeting this morning with the Start Mail executive team, and they told me something super cool, and I'll help you find it. Hang on. Well, I got to find it, and then I'll tell you where it is. The, hang on, radio topics. All right, so Start Mail, hang on. Start Mail has an audit feature that I'm not finding. Hang on, let me do my little search here. An audit feature that will tell you how many law enforcement requests they received and how many pieces of information they turned over. And I'll save you the suspense here. The answer is they received 3 in the last year, and they turned over 0 unencrypted information. So if Start Mail, if someone subpoenas your Start Mail account, you know what they're going to get? They're going to get your Start Mail account fully encrypted, and they will be unable to make heads or tails of it. And actually, they didn't even turn over encrypted information because Start Mail, being based in the Netherlands, only has to turn over the information that is requested of them from the Dutch law enforcement authority. So if the U.S. wants to do this administrative subpoena, Start Mail will say, fly a kite, we're not based in the U.S. And if they go to Europe, StartMail will say, fly a kite. We only listen to the Dutch authority. And that Dutch authority has, I believe, never given them a law enforcement subpoena that they had to turn over information in response to. But even if they did, they would get a bunch of encrypted gobbledygook that they could make no sense of. So StartMail has not turned over any information ever from anyone's account ever. All right, now, with that said, and I'm going to find you the link here on the break that's coming up. All right, this is John in Philadelphia, 67-year-old retiree. He had decided that the America he believed in would not make it if people like him didn't speak up. So on a cool rainy morning, this is the Washington Post being poetic here. On a cool rainy morning in the suburbs of Philadelphia, John, 67 and recently retired, marched up to his study and began to type. I like the way they write this. All right, he had just read about the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's case against an Afghan it was trying to report. And there's a link to that. I haven't read all the details here, but I do know what the next part here. The immigrant was identified in an October 30 Washington Post investigation as H. He had begged federal officials to reconsider deporting him back to Afghanistan, telling them that the Taliban would kill him if he was returned there. All right, so this is not an issue of the Taliban. It's not an issue of immigration enforcement or of this guy H. This is an issue of what happened to John. Let me tell you the next part. He says, so he found an email address online for the lead prosecutor, a gentleman by the name of Joseph Dernbach, who was named in the story. Peering through metal-rimmed glasses, he opened Gmail on his computer monitor and wrote the following. Mr. Dernbach, don't play Russian roulette with H's life. Err on the side of caution. There's a reason the U.S. government, along with many other governments, don't recognize the Taliban. Apply principles of common sense and decency. And then he signed his name and hit send. All right, when we come back, I'll tell you what the horrible things that happened to him next. All right, stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Back. All right, so I found that StartMail link. It won't mean much to you yet, but by the time I finish this story about the horrific thing the Department of Homeland Security did to this gentleman, this American citizen, age 67, just exercising his constitutional rights to live in this country and have an opinion about things. Well, as soon as I get to what happened to him, you're going to be clamoring, you're going to be falling over yourself to get a StartMail account because, yikes, the times we are living in are grim. All right. So the link, by the way, I'll just tell you the link and then I'll tell you later why. I'll remind you to go back and look at it. StartMail.com, that is the private, AI-free, encrypted, inaccessible email alternative to Google, Yahoo, Bing, and all the bad guys out there that are not only making your email available to AI, not only making it available to AI, but feeding it every single mail you receive and every single message you send right down the gullet of AI. So they're not just not protecting it from AI, they're giving it to AI, right? In contrast, we have a pledge at StartMail, and by the way, I'm one of the co-founders of StartMail way back in 2012, so it's been a while now. We have a pledge that says we not only will never give your email to AI, but we will protect you from it. And one of the cool things about StartMail is that if you are writing to someone from your StartMail account and they have, for example, a Gmail account, and you don't want your correspondence with them winding up in Gmail, because even though we don't record it, Gmail will. So if you send an email to them and they receive it, it goes right into AI. AI will say, aha, this person wrote an email, and then they'll have a dossier on you too, even if you use your StartMail account. But here's the cool thing you can do. You and your friend with an unprotected email account can create a password between yourselves. So maybe it's the eagle flies at dawn. Maybe it's just the word peanut butter. Maybe it's just the word hello. It could be whatever you come up with that you think is secure. Hello probably wouldn't be. And using that single password, you can correspond back and forth and back and forth for as many emails as you choose to. Your conversational thread can be as long as you want. And the super cool thing that StartMail does is the email that you send to that person at Gmail never hits Google servers. What hits Google servers is an announcement going, hey, you have an email from this person. And if you want to read it, enter your password. So you enter peanut butter or whatever. And when you do that, what it will do is send you to the StartMail servers where we are hosting, housing, I don't know, holding that email in an encrypted space. And when you get there and enter the password, you will be viewing it on the StartMail servers. It will never hit your Gmail account or your whatever account. So what we're recommending people do is, you know, I don't think anybody has time to redo their entire email infrastructure, even if you do have Yahoo or Google or Bing or who knows, Apple Mail or AOL or whatever you AOL for people still using that. So you don't want to redo it because most people have had their email for a long time. But what you want to do is add a StartMail account and then little by little migrate yourself over. There is a cool feature in StartMail where you can set an alert. So if someone writes to you in your StartMail account, the email itself will not forward to your other account, your insecure account. Just a notification. It'll just say, hey, you just got an email in your StartMail account. Why don't you go over and check it out? And then separately, you will log into your encrypted StartMail account, decrypt it, read the email. And so it is, it's finally dawned on me that the way people are going to switch to private email is not by switching everything at once, but by just adding privacy into their lives and then migrating. And so as you find something important, maybe your bank statements are coming in, maybe a note from your doctor, then give out your StartMail account. And even when the administrative subpoena comes your way, like happened to this guy, they won't get anything. All right, so now let me go on and continue with my story here. So that's startmail.com/transparency. That's what I was going to give you, startmail.com/transparency. And that is the transparency report that they just told me about this morning. It's brand new. And it lets you know transparently all of the law enforcement requests we have received and exactly what we have provided. And what we have provided is literally nothing. So it's pretty cool. In contrast, Google has thousands, every time you blink, they're constantly getting these, and they will not tell you they've gotten them either. So you just merrily go along using your Google account, even though the powers that be, the governmental powers that can do this without your knowledge, can just be watching and continuing to monitor everything you do without your knowledge. All right, now let me go on to this guy. So here's what he wrote. Don't play Russian roulette with this guy's life. err on the side of caution. There's a reason the U.S. government, along with many other governments, don't recognize the Taliban. Apply principles of common sense and decency. Now, I don't know about you. I think that's a very polite letter. There's really nothing in here that causes me any concern. He's not threatening anyone. He does say, Mr. Dernbach, don't play Russian roulette with this guy's life. I mean, I guess the words Russian roulette are in there, but I'm not really perceiving that as a threat. Err on the side of caution. There's a reason the U.S. government doesn't recognize the Taliban, which is true. So again, just to put this in context, the Department of Homeland Security is in court trying to deport this guy to Afghanistan. Maybe he's an illegal immigrant. I don't know what his deal is. I don't know the story. But regardless of what the story is, the letter that John wrote is pretty much nothing. Now, wait till you hear what happened to this guy for writing this very simple letter. All right, that was it. In 5 minutes, John said he finished the note, signed his first and last name, pressed send. This is in his Gmail account, and hoped his plea would make a difference. Here's the scary part. 5 hours and 1 minute later, John was watching TV with his wife when an email popped up in his inbox. He noticed it on his phone. Google, the message read, right? Now, this is an email to his Gmail account, has received legal process from a law enforcement authority compelling the release of information related to your Google account. Listed below was the type of legal process, quote, subpoena, and below that, the authority, quote, Department of Homeland Security. And that's how it began. Soon, there would be a knock at the door by men with badges. And for John, the relentless feeling of being surveilled in a country where he never imagined he would be. He read the message a second time and a third. He didn't tell his wife what right away, worried she would panic. Maybe it's fake, he thought, or a mistake. Or maybe it had something to do with that four-sentence email he had sent to a prosecutor for the federal government. Google had not provided him a copy of the subpoena. Now, remember, this notification was from Google. Google does not have to notify you, by the way. They don't have to. And in fact, in many cases, when the government is surveilling you and asks for Google records, they tell Google they actually forbid them from informing you. All right, Google had not provided a copy of the subpoena, but it wasn't a conventional one. Homeland Security had come after him with something known as an administrative subpoena. Now, this is the first I've heard of this. It is terrifying, and let me tell you what it is. It's a powerful legal tool that, unlike subpoenas most people are familiar with, federal agents can issue without an order from a judge or a grand jury. All right, now, this is the way subpoenas are supposed to work, is that the law enforcement agency goes to a judge and says, Judge, can we have permission to subpoena this person's private information? And the judge will either say yes or no. But in this case, they don't have to go to a judge. All right, I'll go on. Though the U.S. government had been accused under previous administrations of overstepping laws and guidelines that restrict the use of administrative subpoenas, privacy and civil rights groups say that under President Donald Trump, Homeland Security has weaponized this tool to strangle free speech. All right. Administrative subpoena. Let me tell you what it is. Okay. Homeland Security is not required to share how many administrative subpoenas it issues each year, but tech experts and former agency staff estimate it is thousands, if not tens of thousands. Because the legal demands in an administrative subpoena are not subject to independent review, they can take literally just minutes to write up, and officials throughout the Agency of Homeland Security, even in mid-level roles, have been given the authority to approve them. All right, now, what is an administrative subpoena? It was originally intended that if you got notice that someone had their finger on the nuclear bomb button and there wasn't time to go to a judge, there wasn't time to go through all the paperwork because the risk was so tremendous, then at that point you could issue this thing and you could bypass the process and go direct and just get the information you need. Well, that is about a million times away from this. In fact, if they had taken this email to a judge, I certainly hope that the judge would have said, not in your life. What are you talking about? You're going to get in this guy's Gmail account. You're going to look at all the websites he's visited and read all of his email simply because he took the time to write that. That's nuts. All right. In March, I'm reading on, Homeland Security issued two administrative subpoenas to Columbia University for information on a student it was looking to deport after she participated in pro-Palestinian protests. In July, the agency demanded broad employment records from Harvard University with an administrative subpoena, which the school's attorneys describe as, quote, unprecedented. In September, Homeland Security used one to try to identify Instagram users who posted about ICE raids in Los Angeles. Now, are you seeing a pattern here? This is not threatening behavior. Participating in a pro-Palestinian protest, they may not like it, but it's perfectly legal, and no one's being threatened, no one's being harmed. That's called the First Amendment. Instagram users who post about ICE raids, there's nothing illegal there. You're allowed to do that. All right, this administrative subpoena has me scared out of my brain. All right, stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
13-6.
All right, here we go.
We don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other. For God himself has taught you how to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout the world, throughout even so. Dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love even more and more. With your hands, oh, oh.
All right, so I'm reading what happens when the Department of Homeland Security asks Google for your data. In a six-month period in 2020, Google reports receiving 40,000 requests for user information from law enforcement agencies. And more than 60 of the subpoena, blah, blah, blah. All right. And in the subpoenas they received, they provided, quote, some data in 83% of cases. For that same period, Facebook received more than 60,000 requests, producing some data in 88% of cases. Twitter received a little more than 3,000 requests and had a 59% compliance rate. This is horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. These tech companies have so much information on us. The phone company knows where you've been because your phone sends out a little ping that triangulates your location periodically. And the reason your phone does that, I mean, you need your phone to do that, right? Because if a phone call comes in, when your cell phone rings, it doesn't ring every single cell tower in the world and reach you through the one that's closest to you. It actually sends your phone call to the location where you are, because it knows where you are, because it knows where everybody is. So if you call a particular phone number, the phone company, the mobile phone carrier, will locate that person, look them up in their records, say, oh, the last tower they were seen by or the tower they're currently being viewed by is this particular one, so I'm going to use that tower to send a signal to their phone to ring. So as a result, they know exactly where we are all the time. They know who we're talking to, how long we're on the phone, which phone numbers we call. On the internet, they know which websites we visit, what kinds of things we're interested in, what hours of the day or night we're awake and surfing the internet. They know so much, just so incredibly much. All right. Got a text coming in. By the way, my text window is open, 877-536-1360. And I'm going to get some complaints here. I was expecting them. All right. This one, I don't think this is for me. Hang on. I got to figure out how to read these. The unconstitutional government agencies are violating the Bill of Rights. Administrative, quote, law is not lawful. Pound sand. All right. I'm with you. That is from the 308 area code. Do me a favor. Stick your name or your at least your initials in there. I like to be a little more personal. All right. This one is complaining. Now, I like this email because it will clarify something. All right, Catherine, normally I love you and your show. Thank you very much. You're a wonderful human being with great insights. Thank you. However, defending illegal aliens and most of them being criminal is entirely substandard. Okay, now let me go back. Thank you for that. I have never defended an illegal alien ever, not only on this show, but in general, it's just not something I even talk about much. If you've noticed, you will see that I typically avoid political topics because I have found it to be rather fruitless. And there's plenty of other radio hosts to do that, and lots of places you can get your political fix. If that's your thing, you're not going to get it from my show. Just to clarify, I am in no way defending anybody other than a 67-year-old white American Philadelphia suburban dude who wrote a four-sentence email about the topic of his choice. Whether he was right or wrong in that topic is not at issue here. He wrote an email which, frankly, I probably would even disagree with. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is he wrote a legal, constitutionally protected by the Bill of Rights email about something he had an opinion about. And whether I share his opinion or think his opinion was absolutely full of nonsense doesn't give the Department of Homeland Security the right to issue an administrative subpoena against him to get all of the information in his Google account and then send guys to his house with badges knocking on his door, frankly, just intimidating him for simply writing four sentences. So those four sentences could have absolutely said, hey, I think illegal aliens should be allowed to stay in the country as long as they want. Doesn't matter. I don't agree with that opinion, but it doesn't warrant having all of your information unconstitutionally siphoned away and have Department of Homeland Security people knocking on your door. Now, if he was the illegal immigrant, that would be a whole other story. If he was a person who himself was in this country illegally or doing anything illegal at all whatsoever, then I would still probably blink and go, does that really, shouldn't you take that to a judge? I mean, do you really know? I don't know. But I'm not going there. So this has nothing to do with the contents of his email. It has everything to do with the fact that our government is using these powers that it has been granted to protect this country in order to make the citizens of this country unconstitutionally unsafe. There's the concern. All right, so let me just clarify. Catherine, normally I love you in your show. Thank you, I love you back. This is from the 720 area code. Defending illegal aliens and most of them being criminal is entirely substandard, so do your homework. Okay, so I'm in no way defending anything other than an American citizen's constitutional right to write a four-sentence, very measured and thoughtful, I mean, whether he's right or not, it wasn't angry, it wasn't filled with four-letter words or expletives, it wasn't threatening, it was just an email voicing his opinion thoughtfully, wrong the way it may have been. So that's where the problem comes up. That's where the problem is. It has nothing to do with illegal immigration, which is a topic you will not hear me discuss on this show, nor have you ever heard me discuss it, nor do I intend to. But I will discuss this kind of overreach, especially when it has to do with the data stored in an online account, because that is something I have a personal tremendous amount of interest in, which is why way back in 2012, I helped to co-found private encrypted email so that this kind of thing can't happen to people. So hopefully that clarifies a little bit. So thank you very much for writing, and I appreciate your email because it gives me an opportunity to clarify, because I'm sure many people thought the same thing. So one of the things I've noticed as a radio host is I have to be careful because there are so many hot button issues out there, and I'm pretty careful to avoid them. I'm sure I push a lot of buttons, like Sam Altman's buttons at OpenAI, etc. So I'm not afraid of pushing buttons, but there are certain buttons that I just have no interest in pushing because they're not my thing. So yeah, definitely constitutionally protected speech is absolutely my thing. All right. So here I am. This is Homeland Security is trying to force tech companies to hand over data, not about illegal immigrants or undocumented aliens or whatever you want to call them. All right. Not even going to just pretend I said a neutral word. People in this country without paperwork, pro or con, not the point. This says Homeland Security is trying to force tech companies to hand over data about Trump critics. Right. That's the problem. That's the problem. There is, I've told this joke before. My son Peter used to have a book of Soviet Russia jokes, and they were pretty funny. It was in English, but I've told you one of them, which is two Soviet soldiers are standing guard, and one of them says to the other, "What do you think about our leadership in this country?" And the first one thinks long and hard, and then he says to the other guy, "Same as you." And then the second guy says, "Well, in that case, it's my duty to arrest you." So, all right, that's one of the jokes. And then the other one, which is relevant to this, is a Russian, and this is a Soviet, not a Russian, a member of the Soviet Union, because these are Soviet jokes. Member of the Soviet Union and an American are having a conversation, and the American says, "You know, the difference between you and me is I'm free. I can stand in front of the White House and shout, 'The president is an idiot,' and nothing will happen to me. But if you do that, well, you're in trouble." And the other guy says, "No, I'm absolutely free to do that." The first guy goes, "What do you mean?" He says, "Yeah, I too can stand in front of the White House and shout that the American president is an idiot, and nobody in Russia will harm me either." Right. So that joke was funny because in the U.S., you could stand out in front of the White House and shout, "The president is an idiot," and nothing would happen to you. Now, if you started threatening the president, that's another story. But you could stand there and shout that you didn't like him, and nothing would happen to you. But of course, in Russia, if you stood out, well, not Russia, but the Soviet Union, if you stood out in front of the Kremlin and yelled about their government, you'd be arrested, disappeared. Who knows what would happen to you? I don't know. Are we still living in the same America that found that joke funny back in, well, probably the 1990s? All right, I'll be right back.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Thank you.
What's the takeaway here? I'm going to read, this is from Government Technology Magazine. It's governmenttech.com, not gov, so I assume it is commenting on the government, not from the government. But nevertheless, let me read what it says. You're scrolling through your Gmail inbox and you see an email with a strange subject line, a string of numbers followed by notification from Google, in quotes, notification from Google. It may seem like a phishing scam or an update to Gmail's terms of service, but it could be the only chance you'll have to stop Google from sharing your personal information with authorities. Okay, now listen up. Tech companies, which have treasure troves of personal information, have become natural targets for law enforcement and government requests. The industry's biggest names, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, receive data requests from subpoenas to national security letters, to assist in criminal and non-criminal investigations, as well as lawsuits. Okay. An email like this is a rare chance for users to discover when government agencies are seeking their data. In Google's case, the company typically lets users know which agency is seeking their information. And like I said, sometimes they are forbidden from saying anything, but in many cases, I guess they do. I'm not very good at this, but let me open up the phone lines. I think we've got Ann on the line. Hi, Ann.
I wanted to, first of all, appreciate your strategy to protect our against us from the surveillance state. And so I don't have a Start Mail account, but I plan to get one within the month, okay, as a Valentine present to myself, okay?
Aw, great. Wonderful. By the way, use the coupon code KMA for $20 off when you do that.
Okay.
It's my initials, Catherine Albrecht with an M in the middle, KMA. Go ahead.
Okay, and then I wanted to mention that today is the final day to register online to be able to vote in an election that will be held every 2 years in your neighborhood or your precinct to elect representatives to get constitutional candidates elected. So what I'm saying is, if you want the Republican Party, because if you go to ColoradoDems.org, you see their platform is the same as the Communist Party USA, CPUSA. So I urge that we take back Colorado by being able to vote the people who represent us in our precinct to get constitutional candidates elected, okay? It's critical.
So let me ask you real quick, Ann, just so we get the information out, where can people in Colorado go to do that?
Okay, so whether you're registered to vote or not, you can, as a citizen, go to govote, V-O-T-E, Colorado, spell it out, .com. No, .gov. govotecolorado.gov, okay?
Okay.
Then, if you're registered as unaffiliated, please register as Republicans. Why? Because you want to attend that meeting and be able to vote. And today is the deadline to be able to be qualified as a party affiliated, okay?
Mm.
And if you're unaffiliated or if you're libertarian, know that this is a chance that happens once every 2 years, okay? So it's held by precinct, and then go to your county party. You go to the county Republican Party of whatever county you're in, and you'd find where and when the date is. In Adams County, that's March 3. And so it's from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesday, March 3, for Adams. But it'll be different for different counties. But we want to make sure that we can take back Colorado, because the plan to take away our private property rights, what they're doing to the kids, on and on, okay? So I'm just saying, if you go to ColoradoDems.org, you'll find their platform is at least 55 pages long. I've photocopied about 22 pages, and it's shocking. It's just shocking. No private property, essentially. Okay? So it's real important, if you want to have a free life, that you get to govotecolorado.gov and register there,
right,
and you put in constitutional candidates, okay, from your precinct to represent you in the county assembly and the state assembly. Okay.
So let me ask you, Ann, so I have both of those websites open, and mm-hmm. I will definitely read that Democratic website. But on the Colorado, it redirected me to ColoradoSOS.gov, Secretary of State is where it took me, ColoradoSOS.gov. And on there, register to vote, yes, register online, or no, complete the paper registration form. So the Yes Register Online is for people with a valid Social Security number, Colorado driver's license, or Colorado ID card. Is this what you're recommending, that people go and click this if they are registered in some other affiliation that is not Republican, so that they can participate in this process you're describing?
Yes, and then you'll change your voter affiliation. Now, I want people to know that I think her name was Hannah. A couple of years ago, she was head of the Libertarian Party. When I called and spoke with her 2 or 3 years ago, I asked her about borders. What's the stand for libertarians on borders? And basically, she told me no borders were important. Okay, I think that's really important today, because what's happened, okay? So, and she's been now registered as a Democrat. So sometimes we trust the Libertarian Party to think.
Well, I have a lot to say about the Libertarian Party. I was a Libertarian for many, many years and a big supporter of Ron Paul, and I have a lot of opinions about that. But I, as you're probably aware, I'm careful to walk a very fine line to not really discuss politics, because there's so much radio doing that, it's not me. But I will pass this along, because people in Colorado, I absolutely think that if they want to participate in this process, that they should be aware that today's the deadline. So it's ColoradoSOS.gov is the website that it redirects to. That is the Colorado Secretary of State. You can click on register to vote. And if you are not affiliated with the Republican Party, you may want to be, because it will give you an opportunity to vote and determine who will be the candidate from there. So, all right, Ann, thank you so much for calling in. I've only got a couple more minutes to the show, but I appreciate
you. Thanks for my freedom of speech. Okay, thanks for my freedom of speech.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Many blessings. Thanks for listening to the show.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so so that's ColoradoSOS.gov. Of course, I'm in Michigan. I got to figure out what they're doing here. Many, many things going on in our state that are questionable in some pretty serious ways. All right, getting back to what happens when you get this subpoena. Now, this is important. You'll get this notification from Google with a string of numbers. And here's the key that I want you to know. The email sent from Google's legal investigation support team will notify you that Google may hand over your personal information unless it receives within 7 days a copy of a court-stamped motion to quash the request. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say what we're all thinking. That's a high bar, I'm reading. That's a high bar to clear in a short amount of time. When Google, what Google expects you to do is quash the subpoena, and that would require you to go to a to federal court. How many people are going to have the resources and the understanding that they have only 7 days to hire an attorney to quash a Department of Homeland Security subpoena in federal court? All right, that's wild. These requests are not uncommon for Google. I told you the numbers like 40,000, 60,000 tons within 6 months. The companies may feel limited in their ability to fight off warrants and court-ordered subpoenas. However, the tech industry has much more leeway to withhold user information in response to legal requests that did not receive judicial authorization. So that's these administrative subpoenas. They could choose to not turn over the data in response because there's no judge. All right, so this is getting me right back to the StartMail account, and I think it's super cool that today on my meeting this morning, I have a weekly Monday meeting with StartMail, the transparency report was released this week, and I'm going to read it. At StartMail, we're committed to protecting our users' privacy while fully complying with Dutch law. We will never cooperate with any voluntary surveillance programs. Under the current laws that protect the right to privacy in Europe, European governments cannot legally force service providers like StartMail to implement a blanket spying program on their users. Should that ever change, we will use every legal avenue to resist. If government dragnet snooping worries you, StartMail is a secure and reliable choice. Under Dutch regulations, we also cannot comply with specific requests from foreign law enforcement officials, i.e. the U.S., and we will always reject such requests. StartMail will exclusively process only requests that have come through the appropriate Dutch judicial authorities and been verified as legitimate. Dutch authorities may very occasionally cooperate with foreign counterparts when the specific request aligns with international legal standards under Dutch law. Now, that's not going to be some email written by an American citizen. All right. Below, you'll find the statistics on the legal orders we processed. In 2025, we received three requests. In one request, we provided zero information regarding the account. In the two of the requests, only secondary information could be shared, and that was encrypted. All right, so you can find that at startmail.com/transparency. It's probably time you get yourself a StartMail account. I've been saying it for a long time. Go to startmail.com, use the coupon code KMA, you will get $20 off, and you will have a backup plan so that when the subpoena starts coming for you because you said the wrong thing in front of the wrong building or made the wrong person angry with your email, you will be secure, at least have some of your content secure. All right, I'm not going to be here tomorrow because it's my monthly meeting, so I'll see you Wednesday.